Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Spontaneous Remarks, the podcast where you never know what's going to be said or done. You just got to know what we're talking about today. Today, well, I can't keep my nose from running. I've been sneezing about, if I've sneezed one time today, I've sneezed about 30. I didn't feel good this morning, and last night, I spent some time with the family. So I apologize that we didn't get out the episode like usual, but we're about to spin the wheel of Nerdville and hopefully keep you entertained as we go into this episode. So let's see what we got today. All right, this episode of Spontaneous Remarks is all going to be about Nintendo. That's right, the famous NES, Nintendo Entertainment System. So grab your controller, grab you some snacks, put in your favorite cartridge, and we're about to get this thing kicked off and rolling, y'all. Woo! Alright guys, we're back with another episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Today we're going to be talking about Nintendo, the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System. And this system holds a special place in the history of video games. Also, a very special place in my heart. I learned a lot about just the video games. I learned everything from them, really. It was released by Nintendo in Japan as the family computer, the Famicom, in 1983, and then in North America as the NES in 1985. So the development and release of this product, Nintendo, a Japanese gaming company, was already successful in the arcade game market with titles like Donkey Kong, and they wanted to break into the home console market, which was dominated by Atari at the time. Now, Atari was what I initially first started playing when I was a young. I was born in 1980. Atari was it come out, I think, in 1972 is when Atari was founded. So we ended up getting one. I don't know what year. I don't know if it was in 1977 or 1983. I guess it had to have been in the early 80s. 78, 79, maybe, because it might have been my brother's to start with. The Atari video game computer system was later known as the Atari 2600, but that was what I got started on as far as I played Frogger. I could play the heck out of some Frogger. I sound like a frog right now, Ribbit. But anyway, it had the little joystick handle with one little button. Or you had the paddles, and the paddles were used to play like Pong or something else. But in 1983, this was a period of recession in the video game industry caused by just, you know, the oversaturation of low-quality games. You know, and it still happens really today. Not probably as much, but they rush to put out, you know, games quickly, and they just don't spend quality time trying to redefine all those, you know, bugs in the game. So there's always some kind of problem. Or back then, I mean, you could tell it was just the little blocks, the pixels, and sometimes some things just did not look very thought out. They were just trying to put out the games quickly. And interesting byproduct, or just a little fun fact, Atari's overproduction of E.T. the Extraterrestrial was a notoriously bad game. Now, I had this game. I played it quite a bit. I completed it. You played as E.T., and you had to go around and collect the Reese's Pieces from Elliot. But you had to watch out because every once in a while, there was a scientist or a doctor or somebody that would try to come and capture you or Elliot, and it would make you start over. And then you had to go around and find pieces of your the little communication deal that he made in the movie to be able to call down your ship and then go back up to space. So it was I didn't mind the game so much. It was a little more difficult because you move very slow. But anyway, that caused the crash and led to a massive financial loss for the company. There was even an urban legend, I guess you could call it, where somebody said that they had buried tons of ET cartridges out in, I don't remember what desert or what landfill or whatever, but they said that they were buried. And someone went out to this place and started looking around, and sure enough, they found tons of the ET cartridge that had been buried. And I think somewhere in my house, I still have an ET, the ET cartridge and an Atari. I think it's in my daughter's room. But yeah, that's what I started playing. So in 1984, Atari Games was split into two divisions, Atari Games, which was the arcade division, and Atari Corporation, which was the home console or computer division. And so as time went on, that gaming system started to decline. And Atari's influence on the video game industry, I mean, obviously it's undeniable. I mean, it did help to popularize a lot of video games in the 70s and early 80s. I remember playing Asteroids. That was one of my favorite ones. The little ship that went around blowing up the asteroids and for points. Space Invaders, which is still big in a lot of, like gaming places now, like our local bowling alley, gaming center, family entertainment center, has a huge Space Invaders game that you can play. There was Missile Command. That was pretty fun. You had to stop these missiles from blowing up your buildings. But there was all kinds of games. Some were pretty thought out. Some were pretty horrible. So, I mean, it does remain a symbol of nostalgia for many gamers and collectors. But now the Nintendo, this came out. As I said before, they wanted to break into the home console market. So in 1983, the Famicom was launched in Japan. And it was a huge hit, selling millions of units. And it quickly became the dominant console in the Japanese market. Now, in North America, it came out in 1985. And the Nintendo faced many challenges when launching the Famicom in North America due to the video game crash of 1983, which I just previously mentioned. Had a lot of the retailers and consumers lose confidence in the industry. So to overcome this, they rebranded the Famicom as the Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, and packaged it with a robot accessory called ROB, which stood for the Robotic Operating Buddy, and the game Duck Hunt. Now, I never had Rob. I don't even know what it looks like, but I had the Super Mario Brother and Duck Hunt combined cartridge. So, to revive the industry, despite all the initial skepticism, the NES actually revitalized the video game industry in North America. So, what happened was it started to introduce iconic franchises like Super Mario Brothers, The Legend of Zelda, and Metroid, which, by the way, are three of my favorite gaming adventures, I guess you could say. Nintendo implemented a strict quality control policy, introducing the Nintendo Seal of Quality, which you see on a lot of the game cartridges. You see it on the cartridges, too, and the boxes, which assured customers that the games met, you know, the standards that they wanted. Now, a lot of the third-party support that Nintendo had with the strict licensing agreements and the quality control led to a revitalization of third-party support in the industry. So, that happened. Many prominent developers, such as Capcom, one of my favorites, which led to doing Mega Man, Street Fighter, Resident Evil series, Konami come out with Contra and Castlevania. What else did Konami have? The Konami code: up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. They gave you 30 lives on Contra because that was a stupid hard game. One hit and you were dead. You had to have 30 lives. And Square. Square created games, all three of these created games exclusively for the NES. Now, a lot of the technological advancements for this time the NES had was the 8-bit CPU. It featured advanced hardware for the time and the custom picture processing unit and sound hardware. So not only was the picture better, the sound was better, and it also introduced innovations like the D-pad controller, which was just a cross or a plus sign on the controller, which was the up, down, left, right movement that you could use for Mario or Link or whichever character you were playing as. And that became a huge standard for feature, which became a... This became a standard feature in later consoles. Now, the NES achieved global success. It sold over 60 million units worldwide during its lifespan. It dominated the market in North America and Japan and gained popularity in Europe and other regions as well. Now, let's talk about the legacy. Well, we are still... This is just like anything. If it wasn't for the NES, where would gaming be today? Well, you could say that about, you know, what would happen if Hulk Hogan never wrestled? Well, wrestling wouldn't be what it is today. What if bands like, you know, the Beatles had never formed? Well, then you wouldn't have bands like the Monkees or Kiss or any of these other bands that took a lot of their influence from the Beatles. So the NES's legacy, I mean, it set the standard for home consoles. That was the first one, other than Atari, that really laid the foundation for the future of any home game system. I mean, they went from the NES to the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super NES. So the NES was released in 1985. The Game Boy was released in 1989, and then it came the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, the SNES. That was in 1991 in North America. Virtual Boy, which was, I never had one of these. It looked very weird. You put the little, it was like a virtual reality, but everything was red. Like this, the screen that you saw, everything was red. It just looked weird. I did not have any really want of getting one of those. Nintendo 64, that came out in 1996. This was the first gaming system I bought for my very own with my first job. My first, I don't know if it was my first paycheck, but it was my first job, and I bought the Nintendo Nintendo 64 from one of my paychecks. My sister, or Santa Claus, got me the Nintendo Entertainment System for Christmas one year, and I was ecstatic. I got a picture somewhere of, you know, Christmas morning, and I was amazed. The Game Boy Color came out in 1998, which is the same as Game Boy, but they were different colors of the game system. The Game Boy was a different color, or you could get different colors, and then it also put the game in color as well. It was kind of like going from black and white to color TV. Game Boy Advance, that was released in 2001, and then came the GameCube, which was released in 2001 as well. GameCube was very popular. Man, it was had the little bitty small game discs that had Luigi's Mansion and several other games that was really fun. Nintendo DS, that was released in 2004, and that was an interesting one. It had two screens, it was real similar to the Game Boy. The only difference was one screen was touchscreen, and you could use it for your map or legend or whatever, the bottom screen, and then the top screen was your viewing screen. After that was the Wii. And this reminds me of the joke off of Grown Ups when he, Lemonsoft says, maybe you need to take it and get a Wii fund, because they were playing basketball, and apparently whatever they were trying on the basketball court didn't work on the Wii. Then there was the Nintendo 3DS, which was a 3D console to where you could turn 3D on so it looked like the characters were coming out of the screen to you, which was pretty cool, but after a while it got kind of old. and it hurt my eyes sometimes, so I just turned it off. Then there was the Wii U. Now, the Wii U was the probably worst out of all these. Virtual Boy, I would probably say, was one of the worst ones. But the Wii U, it was okay for a while. And then, it kind of faded away pretty quick. That came out in 2012. I remember we got our state income taxes back, and I went and got a Wii U and a Nintendo. No, let's see, what was it? I got two gaming systems, a Wii U and maybe the Nintendo DS or something. Maybe it was a PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4. I got both of them at the same time, and my wife was not very happy. But that's water under the bridge. In 2017, the Nintendo Switch came out, and so that's the current Switch now, or the current gaming system for the Nintendo now. I've heard about a Nintendo Switch 2 coming out, but don't know much about it yet. It should come out at some point, I think. So let's talk a little bit about some of the games that I first played. When I mentioned earlier that Christmas time, I want to say I didn't get it until 1989. I know it was released in 1985, but remembering to that picture I talked about, I had to be 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. I don't remember having it at 5. I don't remember much then, but I think I got it at, in 1989. Maybe it was 88. I don't remember. But I remember the first couple of games. I got Ghosts and Goblins, which is probably the hardest game for the Nintendo. If it's not the hardest game, it's got to be in the top 5. I got, it come with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, the combination game. I think I got Castlevania, if I remember right. I got Wizards and Warriors, which was, it still is one of my favorite games. Wizards and Warriors, if you've not played it, go find you a Nintendo somewhere in a retro gaming store and get it and get Wizards and Warriors and play it. It spawned Wizards and Warriors 2, which was pretty good. Wizards and Warriors 3, not so much. It was okay. I played through all three of them. Wasn't crazy about 3. But number one, the music. If you only play it for the music, the music's amazing. Let's see. What else? Thinking back, I can't remember. Gosh. I know I had to have, I think there, I got 5 or 6 games. I don't remember. I'm going to have to figure it out real quick. Let's see here. NES first games released. Let's see what we pull up here. So Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers. Deep, 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 dom, 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 dom. You know, that was always such a fun game. And sometimes it would make you very aggravated for all the times that you missed that one little jump and fell in the hole and had to start all the way over. Duck Hunt, you had your little dog go out in the field with you, and you would shoot the little zapper gun to hit the ducks across the screen. And I never did get very far in that game. It's pretty hard, but it was fun to play. Excitebike, I never had that one, but that was a pretty fun game. Ice Climber and Gyromite, never really had those two. Those were the first couple of games that come out. Now, I want to say I had, what else did I have? I got Metroid at some point, but it wasn't the initial first couple of games. I remember when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game came out. That might have been one of the first ones. I don't remember. And then we had also the arcade game. That was fun. Man, just playing the Nintendo growing up. I had the NES Advantage. If you watch Ghostbusters, Ray uses an NES Advantage controller to Ghostbusters 2, rather, to move Statue of Liberty around at one point. That was a huge controller. Oh, it was so heavy. I had Game Genie. Game Genie, when it come out, man, we could put in the secret codes and, you know, have infinite life. All kinds of different glitches that you could do with the game. So where you could have infinite lives, infinite ammo, infinite health, jump like crazy, do a really high jump. It was fun doing all those things. After playing the game, you know, it's just fun to do some different things. One thing I do miss about video gaming today is, you know, all the secret codes that they had programmed in the game to try to, somehow you found out that there was the codes in the games, like I mentioned earlier, the Konami code, or cheat codes, what a lot of people call them now. Now they find some kind of cheat that you can exploit and you know, kind of have fun with it. And then they end up patching it on the, like, Fortnite or some of these other games. They just patch it and take all the fun away from it. I mean, my gosh, let us live a little bit, guys. It's not going to kill. If we're playing by ourselves, it's not going to hurt anything for us to just have some fun with some kind of random cheat that someone figured out. That's the problem with today's gaming. I mean, you can't just do anything. Some people do. Some people get by with a lot, especially on games like Call of Duty, where they find the cheats. Now, I don't agree with doing it against players and making it hard for someone else to win the skill-based match making, especially if you're cheating to, like, see-through walls, stuff like that. I'm just talking about mainly if you're playing a game that it's just you. There's no other characters, no other real people. It's just the game, you, and just the characters in the game to where you're not playing against real people. You're playing against the bots or whatever, the gaming people. I mean, why can't we just have a little fun and just, why can't you just make a game where you could do kind of what you want? I mean, sometimes they do, and sometimes they go a little overboard, and I'm not talking about those games. I'm just talking about, you know, just the fun stuff, right? But anyway, so, I mean, the Nintendo is just such a big part of so many people's lives. And if it wasn't for Nintendo, I mean, where would gaming be today? Now, I love Nintendo, but when PlayStation came out, I really quickly jumped aboard PlayStation as well. The PlayStation, the main reason I jumped aboard the PlayStation system was all for one game, Resident Evil. Now, Resident Evil, it was 1998. I remember being in I was in high school. I was in one of the Votech classes, electronics, and we had a free day. I think it was on a Friday, and somebody had rented a PlayStation. It had first come out. They had rented it and rented Resident Evil with it, and the first time I saw the game, I instantly fell in love. That was love at first sight, literally, because I was interested. It looked interesting. I mean, it looked creepy, scary, and fun all at the same time. Man, I wanted it so bad. And finally, my mom and dad one day brought a PlayStation home for me. I don't remember what they bought it for. It wasn't my birthday. It was just a random time, I think. I begged them for it. But the first game they got me was SimCity 2000, I think, which was very... I mean, I like SimCity, but it was... It looked too broad, too. See, what's the word I'm looking for? Too not difficult, but just there's so much to do. Like a lot of games, there's just so much to do, and there's not enough time to do it. So I did not get into that. I ended up going and getting. I took that game back and got. I think the WCW versus something. I don't remember the name of the game at the time. It was one of the first wrestling games that I thought was pretty cool. Had Sting in it. It didn't have DDP. I really wish it had Diamond Dallas Page in it. It had some of the NWO. That was back in 1996, probably. It was 1998 because that's when I first saw the PlayStation. Sorry. But that was one of the first games I got. And then I got Resident Evil. And, man, I've played almost every Resident Evil game ever since. And that was just, PlayStation. I've got a PlayStation and I've got a Nintendo Switch right now. And I've got they've got the NES Classic, which is a little small NES, which has all the emulated games because Nintendo got mad because people were emulating them and making different games out of Mario Brothers. And so they quickly put a stop to that. And so they did the Super NES Classic, which has got several games on it. And then now they've got the Nintendo Online, which you pay a subscription for, which I'm tired of subscriptions, by the way. I've got a ton of them. But anyway, and you can play pretty much any game that you want that's on there. They've got all the classic Nintendo games. They got Super Nintendo. They even got Sega Genesis now. I don't know how they manage that. I never owned a Sega. Never did play Sega much. Nintendo was 8-bit. I think Sega was 16-bit. And then Super Nintendo came out and it was 32-bit, which every bit of the graphics got better as, you know, the bits went up. So all in all, I mean, the gaming systems, the gaming era, I mean, man, I'm telling you, 1980s and the 90s, I mean, from 1960 to 1990 was just some of the best years that anybody could live. I loved every bit of it growing up, just the things that we used to do. I mean, it was such a simpler time. You didn't have to hear a bunch of drama on, you know, social media. No one spoiled anything for you for movies. Nowadays, you can't even get on anything. If you don't want to be spoiled, don't get on social media, because you will see a movie that you've been wanting to see and somebody will have said something about it and it will ruin it for you all the time. So just watch out for that, because it's going to happen. But you know what? It's such a fun time. Nintendo, thank you so much for just being part of my childhood. And I know it's crazy to think Nintendo like that, but I don't care. It was fun. Had a lot of good memories. Spent a lot of nights staying up late trying to win that game. Oh, and I didn't think to mention this. This was before you could save any games. So, I mean, there was a couple of games you could save your progress with passwords. You had to write them down just right. If you forgot and didn't write them down correctly, guess what? You couldn't get back to where you were. And then also, not to mention the passwords, Mario, if you lost your place in Mario or died during one of the levels, you could press A, hold A down at the start screen and press start, and it would start you back at the beginning of the level, the world you were on. So if you was on 3-2, it would just start you at 3-1. But yeah, that was before any passwords or any way that you could save your progress except for a few games. And so for Wizards and Warriors, I cried so hard one night because I wanted to try to beat the game. I was at one of the final levels with the castle. You had to climb up the big castle, and little unbeknownst to me, there were several more stages left. It would have taken me all night. But I was so mad. I wanted to stay up and play, and I had to go to bed because school was the next morning. But anyway, you know, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Tune in next time. You never know what we're going to say or what we're going to do on this podcast. But we're going to talk about some fun stuff from the 80s, a.k.a. my childhood. I hope you have a great week. Until next time, stay gaming, friends. And we'll see you on the flip-flop. Woo!